Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Mama Seven, and we are here doing radio again. Another wonderful Wednesday. It's wonderful because we've gotten to this point of the day. For all those that are doing the fast, you know, I think we have a couple more minutes, hopefully. Let me see. Probably about 30 more minutes to get finished with the fast. But, yeah, today is the fast day. It's the shrine day. It's getting ready for everything else. It's slowing down the world that we're in right now and focusing ourselves on our spiritual obligations, desires, wants, anything. Now is the time to spend working on ourselves. And so we do this every Wednesday. Some Wednesdays are harder than others. Some Wednesdays are like Mondays on steroids, okay? But, you know, any Wednesday that you survive is a good Wednesday. Anytime that we get to come back and try it again the next day, it's a good day. We're going to have to take the victory and call the day from there. I'm your host, Mama Seven. I want to shout out to all of the phone lines that are nice and good and full. And looking forward to hearing from people. We're going to be speaking about understanding spiritual experiences tonight. Last week, we dropped the F-bomb. Me and Sister Vikita laughed and joked and spoke on the phone, but spoke about some very serious F-words. And the big one is forgiveness. And it's never an easy one now, I have to tell you. There's a reason why it's a bomb, okay? It's not an easy task to try to be forgiving. It's not an easy task to, you know, put your energy out there. And we spent some time talking about who the forgiveness is for and, you know, just some tips to get to it. And we have some dynamite callers call in and share their experiences and also, you know, just give some encouragement for those that are having difficulty with that forgiveness. There's a reason why. You know, there's a little undercurrent there that you may have forgotten about. You may want to deny it even existed, but it's there. So, you know, it was a great show. If you want to check out last week's show, all you have to do is go to awonderfulapproach.com or you can go to a Wonderful Approach Facebook page. And all the old shows are listed there, and there's some really exciting shows. And just some things to get you in between then and now, okay? I hear all the time, oh, I had a rough day. It started kind of cranky. People, you know, get on my nerves. And then I listened to one of the older shows, and it really helped me to put things in perspective. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea. You know, I've heard, oh, yeah, we're going through devotions again. Now, okay, going through devotions the first time was real. Doing it twice, you are a brave soul. But, you know, just going back and reviewing some of those lessons that came about in those short 30 minutes, but it was an opportunity to really get a blast out, a prayer out, and then the shows are listed on the Facebook page. So take a moment, check out some older shows, especially when you're having those hard days. My co-host is having a hard day. Libby is having some challenges in her family. We're going to have some prayer for her. We're going to keep her lifted up. It was amazing. You know, we picked this date out almost 2 months ago. And then this day, this morning, she got some rough news. So we're just going to keep her lifted up in prayer. We're going to keep things moving. We're going to have a special, you know, shout out and prayer for her and her family as they're going through this change and adjustment that they are. So we're going to move forward and talk about understanding spiritual experiences. And I'm sure when Libby comes back, she will be able to share with us how important this topic is, this day is, and everything else like that. You know, 2 months ago when we weren't even thinking about it. So, yeah. But we're going to be speaking about understanding spiritual experiences. It's so important to be able to have open conversations about what a spiritual experience is. How do you know you had one? And you do. You know, there's not really a question, but we'll go over some telltale signs. You know, we'll go over, and then hopefully, depending on the callers, we'll have some people that will call in and share some of their experiences. When did you know you were having a spiritual experience? You know, and you can go give us as much or as little information as possible, but it's helpful for others to know, one, you will survive it, and then two, how much depth it gives you in your spiritual practice, okay? So, and then I love to talk about these topics right here because we are getting ready for a retreat. Retreat season is coming up. The first one is this weekend. We're going up to the mountains. And then next month, we're going back to the mountains. On July 11th, we're going to the water with a fantastic setup of activities and ritual and cleansings. It's a wonderful time. And so in the middle of these events, the rituals, the prayers, there are moments and experiences occurring. And so I just wanted to take some time to talk about that, to share, to explain how important it is for you to start having your own experience, okay? Now, a lot of us come from Christian backgrounds. And, of course, that's great, you know. And you can evolve from wherever you want to, but the majority of our ancestors had a Christian understanding. And so, you know, you'd go into church and the pastor's up there talking and preaching and giving you the quote-unquote good word. And sometimes that word sounds like it's coming straight for you. Like pastor was, you know, listening in on your phone call. You're like, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe he is speaking to me like that, you know. And then we have times and opportunities when there'll be a Holy Ghost, you know. If you've ever been to a holiness church, you know what I'm talking about. But there'll be times when an energy is just kind of moving through the congregation. And, you know, I love my funny memes and videos. All my little old church ladies and they hats just going, and I love it. I grew up in holiness. I grew up around a lot of people, but I love the holiness. In ATR, the Shango Baptist tends to be a little more flagrant. You know, we go to the Bembe's, and what happens is they call it catching the spirit. But, you know, we'll see energy come through people and ancestors come forward and messages come forward and people speaking in tongues. And it can be a bit much when you don't know what's going on. But right there in the middle of all of that is a spiritual experience. You know, at that point, a person, place, or thing, a person is opening themselves up to be a portal in which spiritual energy can come through and deliver a message. And sometimes it's just coming through to be expressed. So those are spiritual experiences. And they can be very profound, very, very profound. Most people, once they have had a spiritual experience, their life changes. They are no longer the same person. They have to move forward and express themselves and be a different being because of this spiritual experience. And this can happen in a lot of different places. But when it happens to you, and we're talking about ourselves tonight, okay? When it happens to you, you really begin to understand so much more about your life, you know. And this is how I can always tell when spirit has come and touched people directly. Their lives have been changed. They are not the same person. they can't help themselves but to be a new, more evolved person. And that's not to say we don't fall back and get in our same old grooves and do the same thing we used to, but truly there is a change in a person once you've had this experience. And nowadays, you know, not all of us go to church. Not all of us have, you know, these Christian understandings still. And so there are other opportunities. I know a wonderful approach. We have guided meditation, and spirit comes through and delivers messages, and people get to see and experience what's going on and how this is moving, you know. Also, there's retreats. Yeah, like I said, we're in retreat season. We are getting moving right now, and we are learning about different aspects of ourselves, and spirit will come and conduct that. You know, spirit is showing us, hey, this is what this is. This is what we need to look into. And especially when A Wonderful Approach does retreats, we're up in the mountains. We are up in the middle of nature. It's nature to the left and the right. It is a wonderful experience. And so in the midst of all this nature, we are gathering so much information. And so it is a blessing to truly be able to have these experiences. I know a wonderful approach we had experience in Orisha in March of this year. Profound changes came about. You know, had a nice group get together and had personal experiences with Orisha. And all of this, a lot of times, is on top of work already being conducted. So there's work on top of work on top of work. And then you have your quote unquote breakthrough. And so it is a fantastic opportunity, time. You know, we're constantly looking to better ourselves. You know, our whole purpose here on this earth understanding is to get better. You know, we all need to be improving. As long as you are here, as long as God has graced you with another day, there's something that you're supposed to be learning, something you're supposed to be doing. So don't hesitate to stop and spend the time to learn. Be disciplined in your studies. And definitely, these spiritual experiences are something that will help to push you into your new understanding. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, family. We're going to be speaking about that spiritual experience. And for those that are feeling brave, I really would like to know what was that first experience like? You know, when did you first realize that, you know, there was something more going on, you know, more than what we could see with our eyes, you know? You know, describe, you know, the feelings or the surroundings or anything that you want. But the reason why we're doing this tonight is because I get you questions, calls, comments on, you know, retreat life. What is retreat like? Trust me, we're not sitting around getting our nails done, okay? We are working diligently. We're working to really, really get closer to God, have more understanding of a divine nature, you know, start to shed some of our old ways and move confidently forward. Sometimes, you know, that takes an epiphany. You know, sometimes it takes some work to really, really get things together. So I would love to hear. We're going to be sharing. And also, let's say you don't have an experience per se. Let's say you're like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on. That's okay, too. Call in and just ask a question, because the way that we learn, the way us humans learn, is we ask questions. And so this is a great call, a great topic, a great time to ask that question that you wanted to ask, share what you wanted to share, offer those words of encouragement, but to be there as we're trying to get through this, you know what I'm saying? So the phone lines are lit, which is wonderful. You know, I love it when everyone calls in, because A wonderful approach is a collective, okay? We are a diverse group. There's a lot of us. And the more of us that share, the more we learn, you know? So it's not just about Mama 7 at all. It is about us together. And so I love it when, you know, people take the time out to listen, but also when you share, because we all have something to contribute. So I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait a long time to get to the phone lines. Let's see. I'm going to grab a call right here. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Alafia, how you doing?
I'm good. This is Sister Unique.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing, Mama 7?
Look, I'm looking outside at the sun, trying to not set. That's what I'm doing. I think the sun's playing peekaboo. Right. The sun's
okay.
Playing peekaboo. And I'm like, yo, I'm losing
this is my
game.
I am. I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm going to need you to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I sent that text. I was like, is it just me or is it three Wednesdays a week? Because it seemed like every time I turn on, I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's such a great topic because I have had my spiritual journey has been a very interesting and delightful, hard, yet, fulfilling journey.
Amen.
And for me, and I'm speaking for myself, on this side, now I can see the reason why it was hard was because I was being hard-headed. And I kept trying to do it instead of letting God do it. So, you know, it's like I've tried other ways. Now I realize, okay, let's do it God's way. So for me, my first, I look at it like an onion, my first real experience as far as, you know, really digging deep into my spirituality was actually at a Mother Eagle retreat. And it was the morning camp where I met, she was Sister 7 back then, but she felt like Mama. And that was a very interesting experience because Mama Khadija, she pulls no punches, you know, and we was digging deep and, you know, it brought some things to the surface and I was like, okay. And then, you know, as years went on, I'm just like, okay, I'm working on it, work on it. But I didn't realize I really wasn't working on it. It was just like, you know, the frost at the top. Until I went to a self-love retreat in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to all of my people out there that's about to go into retreat for the first time, it's going to be an experience. I think the scariest part about it is that it only, I take that back. It only works if you work it, you know, and then you allow yourself, if you be honest with yourself and you allow it to work. The scariest part for me was when I realized that it was me, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't blame anybody. I couldn't hold anybody. I mean, I wanted to fight Mama 7. I really did. Like, we fell out. I was like, she ain't my mama. You know what I'm saying? She can't be telling me what to do. You know what I'm saying? But she made great coffee. So if you get up and get a cup of coffee, she'll feed you. And she'll give you something to drink. But, you know, you really have to put the work in and really dig deep. And, you know, don't waste your time or your money if you're really not willing to do the work. That's one thing I appreciate. So for me, after that retreat, that's when I really started putting the work in. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
This is not going to go away until I do something with it. So I made a conscious effort to make sure that that next year or so, I was really working on it. Then there was a couple other treats within there where I was called out for the P word, and I was like, I'm not a procrastinator. You know what I'm saying? And I realized I was procrastinating on procrastinating. I was like, okay, let me work on that. So, you know, it's like the more you dig, the deeper you go, the more roots there are, and then you realize that, you know, sometimes we just mow the grass and we just cut things off. But if you really want to get down and get rid of something, you're going to have to pull it up by the root, you know.
And in
pulling it up by the root, you'll also realize that you may not be able to do it by yourself. You're going to have to trust somebody, not just outside of yourself, but really in. My biggest thing, it wasn't about me not trusting anybody on the outside. It was about me really trusting myself on the inside, which is God. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Other people tell you things about you, and you're willing to believe it, but you can't look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself your truth. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That's something that I had to work on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I realized that I couldn't embrace what God had for me because I wasn't trusting myself. So as I've learned how to trust myself more, you know, it's just like, it was like the sun is just brighter. The air is just, clearer. You know, my eyes are brighter. You know, my senses are brighter. You know, that's because I'm allowing, not trying to control it. You know, I'm allowing spirit to come to me. I'm allowing, you know, I'm doing the work. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing the studies. I'm doing the classes. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing the devotions. I'm trying not to cuss as much. I'm still trust me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to give up the bread. I'm trying to make it to the sun. That, you know what I'm saying? But it's the intentions behind it.
Amen.
So I encourage anybody, you know what I'm saying, enjoy yourself. The mountains are beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But really, do the work. You know what I'm saying? Don't. One thing you can't get back is time. So if you're going to waste time and just go up there and not do the work, you know what I'm saying? You'll get it eventually because you know how you repeat that same problem that keeps coming up. Yeah, you can repeat that same lesson over and over again. And you're like, why does this keep coming up? And don't get me wrong, after you get it, it'll come up again, and then you'll be like, oh, wait a minute, I recognize that. This is a test.
That's right.
So I'm going to respond differently than I did before. And I could hear spirit be like, good job. Okay, you passed that.
Yes.
Now let's do something else. You know what I'm saying? Like you said before, we can't stay in the kitty room. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be 12 years old in the second grade. You know what I'm saying? I can't fit in those chairs. The bathroom stall's too small. You know,
look,
I don't want to.
All that's not working. It's just not working.
It's not. I do want my naps
working.
And my snacks back. I want my naps and my snacks back. I'll take those. You know what I'm saying? I can take a good nap. But, you know, it's so worth it. It's so worth you putting that effort into yourself. It's so worth
Amen.
It for you. And your family, who indirectly benefits from it, as well as your lineage. You know what I'm saying? Those that came, those that are going to come after you, and also those that have come before you. They're so proud and they're so loving, and they so want us to step into our greatness. So in that, I say I love you all, family, and I wish you all the best in your journey. Peace.
Amen. Wow. Now that's the kickoff. That is the kickoff. You know, you hear me in the back kind of giggling. And I'm giggling because when she said hard, I know what hard means. Okay. When I get to see people's journey and I'm in the sidelines and I'm when they're not looking, I'm clapping. And when they're looking, I'm like, hey, get to it, blah, 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 blah. And then when they turn around, I'm clapping again because it's so much work. I'm so glad that she said the word hard. This is not easy, family. If it were easy, everybody would do it. It wouldn't be a chore. It can be difficult. And I promise you, everyone that can say, yeah, it's been difficult. Yeah, I've had to get my butt popped. Yeah, you look back, that was on you. God didn't set you up for that. God gave you the easy road. If you look at it, if you go back and look, God's always presented easier options for us. It was us in our stubbornness, hard-headedness, procrastinateness, whatever you want to call it, denial. Some people are in just straight denial. Whatever that is, that's what we did. God didn't lay that out. But I'm so glad that my dear sister said it is hard. Because it is. Because we have to fight somebody who knows our every fight move. And that's our own self. A big part of having these spiritual understandings and these spiritual experiences is being able to move out of your head, move out of your way, and open yourself up to the experience. I'm going to share a funny story, and then we're going to keep on the phone lines. If you would like to speak, all you have to do is press 1. That lets me, the switchboards, know that you'd like to speak. And, you know, sharing the stories helps, you know, because then we'll begin to see, you know, you might say, hey, that happened to me too. And then it becomes an experience. I come from a spiritual household. So the idea of spirits being around all the time is not a new idea. I understand it. My kids understand it. It's a reality, you know, and it's never even questioned. And I remember being at my great aunt's house, who was big in the metaphysics before metaphysics was big. And so my mommy, Neil, and she was loved my mother intensely, and they spent a lot of time together. And there were lots of spirits at her house. And so I remember one time just sitting on the sofa. It was an older house. You know, they had the crystal glass candy jar that you better not touch with the old candy in it that stuck together. Yeah, and then they had all this stuff in the house. So things start just moving, levitating. And I'm just looking, and I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, okay. I had to be about, I think it was about 8 or 9. And I didn't say anything. It was not unusual. It wasn't scary. There wasn't anything close to my head. I wasn't at all concerned. I was like, oh, okay, all right, this is what y'all doing. Until they touched the plate. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King plate. Y'all remember back in those old houses where they had the Dr. King and the JFK plates? I forget, there was a third person. I thought that was the Holy Trinity, I swear. It might have been Jesus, you know. But it was, I remember Dr. King being on the plate and John F. Kennedy. And the plate started to move and float. I said, oh, you break the plate, that's on you. I swear, I said, you break that plate, that's on you. I will tell everybody what I have seen here today if you break the plate. Because you're not pinning that on me. And I remember going back to my coloring, like, you can do what you want to do. But that plate right there get broken, that's on y'all. I swear, I'm telling everything. And I remember telling my mom, oh, yeah, they were having a good time. But they touched the plate. I told them to put the plate back. And she was like, okay, that's wonderful, little Khadijah. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. You know? So growing up, this was just a natural part of what we did. And I didn't think anything of it. But I remember that plate, and I remember that plate being important and for them not to break it. And I was telling everything, oh, break the plate, that's on you. Hey, I can't help you none. So, you know, having these experiences, especially at a young age, before someone told you, oh, that didn't really happen, and you sitting there looking like, yeah, it did. I promise you it did. Before someone came and molded your brain, we were already having these experiences. And this is why children are so close to God. And children get to see and experience so much because usually they have not been tainted by the facts yet. You know, they haven't been tainted by, oh, you can't do that. Oh, that's not real. You know, they haven't been, you know, just messed over yet. I hate when us adults try to tell children what they have seen, what they've experienced. And I'm like, you don't know. You have no idea. So I am so, that was one of my experiences. And I absolutely loved it. I am very, I guess I would say nonchalant about spirit. It's perfectly fine. It's fine. You get to see more, experience more. And so, you know, don't be afraid to be childlike in your understandings. You know, a lot of times when I find people that have experiences and they just don't want to say anything, it's because they are trying to mentally justify it. They're trying to come up, well, the gas is coming off of Venus. No, no, boo, that's a spirit. You know, you can stop trying to justify it. You can stop trying to find other excuses. It's a spirit, and it's okay. You know, so that was one of mine. Funny, funny ones, because, I mean, as an adult now, I sit back and be like, you didn't care nothing unless the plate got broke. I said, I didn't care nothing. Don't touch that plate, though. I knew it was important. But I would love to stay with the phone lines, share your experiences. Even, you know, sometimes spirits can come across as a little scary. That's not their intention. No good spirit is going to try to scare you. Not at all. Spirits want to talk to you. They want to warn you. They want to share with you. They want to interact with you. So if they're scaring you, you can say, I don't want to see this right now. And it goes away because they don't want to scare you. They'll just find somebody else and they'll be like, hey, can you call my niece and tell her what I said? You know, but you'll find yourself at the right time, at the right place. You'll find a little old church lady coming and telling you something. You're like, man, I was just thinking about that. No good spirit wants to scare you because that's totally opposite from what they're hoping to achieve. They're hoping to achieve a connection, okay? So if you're feeling scared, then we got something else going on, you know, and we'll talk about how to deal with that too, okay? But I want to, we have another caller that would like to speak. Again, if you'd like to speak, all you have to do is press 1. That lets me know that you'd like to speak. And we're sharing experiences. When did you know you were having a spiritual experience? And everyone's experience is different. Some people have experiences with nature, with actual elements. You know, and I sit back and I'm like, whoa. I've seen people interact with lightning before. And I'm like, you know, you sit there for a second because your eyes are trying to in your brain the message of what just happened, and your brain's like, what? You know, so, you know, everyone has different experiences, so I would love to hear more, okay? So all you have to do is press 1 and let me know, but I'm going to stay with the phone lines for just a second. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mother Seven, how are you?
Oh, I am well, and yourself?
Okie dokie. Yes, it is. Oh, man. That, you and Sister Unique are a trip, I tell you that much.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah. And those, your little kids, your little angels that's going on that retreat, be nice.
Yes. I am. I'm a child.
You're going to try.
I'll try.
Oh, my goodness. Spiritual things. Okay. Well, you know, now that I think about it, and I had a lot of deja vu moments, like I've been here or I heard this before, and, you know, we just always, like, play that off as, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Then I have family members that come to me, and I don't know who they are, but I know they're smokers. So the only two maybe three that I know that are smokers was my husband, my father, and my grandfather. The women in my family didn't smoke a lot, so I was like, okay, who's here and what do you want, you know? And then my one other one that I had, oh, I was sick about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I was so sick. I was laying here on the sofa. I couldn't move, couldn't think. And all I went to sleep, took a nap, and I know I have American Indian in me. I had three warriors standing over me. Doing their drumming and dancing over me, and within a couple of days, I was healed. So I was like, okay, thank you, family. Thank you for that healing.
That is major.
Yes, that was deep. I was like, oh my goodness. All right, you know, that stayed with me for a couple of days, but I mean, it stayed with me. Like, I can't believe that I just saw that. You know, I felt that. You know? And the last one is, and I have to work on this one a little bit more, telling me sometimes, like, when to do something. And you always say, oh, no, I'll get to it later. And then you find out why you were supposed to do something ahead of time. And
That one I'm
definitely working on, because they told me to check Isaiah's car door. I was going to see him at work. This was years ago. And I said, you know where I live. We live in no man's land. And this is when we first moved down here. And I didn't check his car doors. And I think I talked to him the next day or the day after, and he said, my car was robbed. All my records, all my CDs were gone. And I'm like, darn it. Darn it.
Wow.
Darn it.
Yeah.
And,
So,
That one I've been working.
I get that a lot. And again, the reason why we don't check is because we're not paying attention to our own selves. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that'll be fine. And, you know, maybe it didn't mean what I thought it meant. And, you know, when we doubt our own selves, that's kind of stuff that happens, you know? And so, we all do that to a degree. And we have to learn how to start trusting ourselves, you know?
That's
another
right.
part of that spiritual experience, is knowing how to trust where you are and what you know. You know, one thing that you said, dear, is you were talking about, you know, which ancestors smoke. Now, this is, I keep trying to tell people, we have to go past just knowing our ancestors' names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the name is good. That's a good beginning. But we got to go past that. You know, we do need to know who smoked, who didn't. You know, one of my little ones was telling me her ancestors like black coffee. I was like, and I was thinking to myself, good. It's good that you know what kind of coffee, because I put tons of cream and sugar in mine, and that would have been wrong. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's that kind of little detail that really, really makes the difference with spirit. You know, spirit is like, wow, you know, they took the time to get to know me, and it makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
You know, you narrow it down, and if you get a whiff, like my grandfather usually smoked the pipe. So if you get that pipe scent, you know it's there. But the cigarettes is kind of hard to tell. But I do know when it's my husband, because of the type of cigarette he smokes. Like, it was like cool. So that's really, really strong. So I said, okay. So, you know, just sit here and talk or whatever. But, yeah, that's it. You got to get to know them and, you know what
that's
they like
right.
and know what they don't like.
That's right.
Like, I know my mother likes a different type of liquor. She, scotch. What was it that I bought? Anyway, I have to think
How's
about it, but I know it's scotch.
That's a nasty gin. Oh.
No, yeah. She don't do gin. She does scotch. And it was a, it was a good name because I know I bought it to one of the retreats. So I just have to, I have to think about it again. But yeah, that's it for me for right now. So you know, everybody's working. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us. I know you have many, many years of retreat under your belt. You know, I remember you were part of that Mother Eagle Ministries first rites of passage. And so I know the history you have. And I bring that up to let people know, look, it takes multiple times. We don't, like, you know, just when it comes to washing our hands or brushing our teeth, we don't just brush our teeth once in life. You know, this is a practice. It's a habit. It's a ritual routine. And so, you know, I want to just remind people, you know, don't hesitate to start and restart and continue a spiritual practice. You know, so if you've been at this for a minute, you know, you've done this, you've done that, don't think that doing something just once years ago, oh, I went to church years ago and I didn't get anything out of it. Well, why don't you try to go back? You know, why don't you see if there's something new for you in that? You know what I'm saying? So I strongly encourage everyone, get into those spiritual experiences, okay? Don't allow your spirit to be ignored. Can you imagine how irritating it would be if you're trying to do something and you can't get it done because they're just not listening to you? And can you imagine saying it softly and then loud and then yelling and then backing them up into a corner and, you know, you're trying everything and they're just not listening because they don't want to? That's kind of rude. You know what I'm saying? And so when we come into this spiritual arena, you know, we have to begin to say, okay, look, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like something's not going on when I clearly can see that it is. And this is how we get to be better, stronger spiritualists. Because we sit back and say, hey, I'm not gonna deny that I just felt that. You know what I'm saying? There'll be times when I'm having a conversation with someone and every hair on my body just stands up and I got dreadlocks. So I was like, well, okay, I'm here. I'm ready. I feel that we are making some things happen. That's what I'm talking about, you know? So I'm not going to sit here and deny that this isn't going on. You know, let's be honest about it. It is going on in a big way. So I strongly, strongly encourage those. When you're having those experiences, no matter how strange you may think it is, or, oh, that's not really an experience, that might be, don't minimize it. You know, in order to have these spiritual experiences, spirit has to kind of reach down for us. You know what I'm saying? They have to slow their vibration down as we speed our vibration up. So it doesn't happen per chance. They are trying to contact us. So let's work with them as they're trying to work with us. As they're trying to contact us, so, you know, at least we can do is pay attention. And for a lot of people, the first spiritual experiences that they'll have will be dreams. Dreams are an easy way for spirit to reach out to us, because we're able to be more relaxed, you know, in dreams we're more open-minded to things that may come up, you know. And so dreams are a wonderful way of us having these experiences. And so I strongly suggest get you a dream journal, you know. So as you're intentionally putting yourself to sleep, you're making your prayers, you're getting aligned, you know, you're making sure your room is free of clutter and negativity. And, you know, I like to read right before I go down. So I have a couple of spiritual books that I'm studying. And so I'll have my books with me and everything else like that. And so as we're preparing our body for rest, which is like the most vulnerable position we have, all right, you're number one, you're horizontal. A lot of times you're undressed. Sometimes you're in the dark. I sleep under candlelight. But, you know, so for us, it's a very vulnerable time for our spirit. So I say, look, make your prayers, you know, gear up. Spend that time and energy making sure that you and your spirit are in good places to move forward so that you can have these experiences and they be positive, you know, not scary. So also, when it comes to spiritual experiences, that's a good beginning. And I'm so thankful for my two callers that called in that shared their experience, how they worked with it, what they saw, what they felt. You know, I want to continue that conversation. I want, you know, let's get some questions in. You know, let's get some other ideas in. You know, how did that first experience come about? How did you know what was going on? So I have a caller that would like to join us. I'm going to stay with the phone line. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mother Seven. This is Nicole.
Greetings, dear. How are you?
I am good. Really great topic because I've definitely been having a lot of experiences, deeper experiences than I've ever had before. And I've had them since I was a teenager. But I will say prior to devotion, the one that sticks out in my mind the most was that I had a dream of my great-grandmother's mother, and I'd never seen her a day in my life. And I called my mother and my aunt to ask who this person was, and I described her to a T, and, you know, hopefully you'll meet my mother one day, and she, you know, cursed. And she was like, oh, my gosh. that's your grandmother, your great grandmother's mother. And so she's like, why is she coming to you? I said, I don't know. She was smiling. We were all out in the yard. I don't know. She didn't say anything. She was just smiling. Everybody was happy like we normally would be in the yard when I was younger. Fast forward to devotion time. I had a very beautiful message to give to another friend of mine because one of her dear friends that died a few years ago from cancer came to me so they can meet and so she could see them. Like in the dream,
wow.
I had my friend with me and it was someone else. I don't know who it was. And we came to like this little bridge and she was on the other side and she was just as beautiful as ever. I've met her one time in my life, beautiful as ever and just happy. And so we crossed the bridge. She hugged my friend and she pointed to me. She said, it's because of you that I was able to do this. I woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I called my friend and I told her what happened. She said, do you know she's been coming up to several other people and they've been telling me this, you know, telling me that they've seen her. I said, well, you were actually in my dream and you guys were able to hug. So obviously she wanted to reach out to actually see you, let you see her. And there you go. Crazy.
Wow.
I was like, why am I dreaming of this woman, you know? I met her one time, but yeah, so that was like a very powerful experience where I was being used to give a message to someone that just like brightened up her whole world for that moment. I just say people just, like you said, just be as vulnerable as possible. I'm so looking forward to retreat, to learning more. It'll be my first time. So I'm a baby, and I'm not even going to say be gentle because I already know that's not how it's going to go. I already know, you know. So I'm just going to be as open and as receptive as possible and see what else I can experience because this has been an amazing journey. So I definitely thank you for that and allow myself to even experience this.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, thank you.
You are ready, and I cannot wait to see the rest of the blossom bloom. You know, it's I'm telling you, from my side, I remember, you know, just as a kid, I get the popcorn. I'm sitting there like, ooh, this is going to get good. You know, I enjoy this work. I enjoy it. Now, I still work, okay? And anyone who sleeps around me knows that you earn that sleep at night. You are going to sleep like a baby, and because you've earned it. But we have so much good, you know, positive experiences and just creating more opportunity for people to learn. And that's what I really like. I believe in authentic learning experiences. You have got to learn this. You have got to learn how to have this relationship with God. You have to learn this openness and this vulnerability. You know, I'm hearing words, you know, hard, vulnerable, you know, just courage. You know, these are things that we need to have within ourselves anyways. And so, you know, it's important that we get okay with the idea that part of this might be uncomfortable. Part of this might be so unique that we don't know what to do from here. You know, we may not have ever seen anything like this. This may not be something, you know, you can go to your mother and she'll give you good advice on everything except for this. She don't know what this is because she may not have experienced that. Okay? I know most people know I have two boys. And they're both gifted and in their own special way. But that Talib is a little extra. And he was about, let me see, about three. And my mother has all this art, this primitive African art from the motherland. And he goes to this one mask, and he's just sitting there looking at the mask. And I'm like, you know, all right, Shorty Bob, what you doing? And he was like, this mask don't want to be here no more. And I was like, Lord, please do not tell my mother that. You know, so he goes, of course, he has to tell her, this mask don't want to be in your house no more. And then she said, that's my mask. He said, the mask doesn't want to be here anymore. He wants to go home, and this is not his home. So my mother says, okay, where's the home at? And so he's looking back at the mask. This is a three-year-old we're talking about. His home is far, far away back across the water. And my mother's like, oh, okay. Well, how am I going to get it home? I don't know exactly which home it goes to. And so they go back and forth 5-10 minutes. Now, her house might as well be a museum. I've seen more art at her house than I have in some of these, you know, African-American museums, you know. So it's a lot of art. There's 1,000 energies that he could have spoken to and interacted with. That one mask has been in our family. I remember being 4 or 5 years old having conversations with this mask. So it's been in our household for generations. And he hit that thing, just was like, this mask doesn't want to be here anymore. And it was such a shocker. And so he's having a full experience, but he's three. He doesn't know. He doesn't probably doesn't remember. But us adults were like, yo, this kid, which caused her to do a lot of research to find out where the mask goes. You know, how could we get it there? What are we supposed to be doing? And everything else like that in respect for the energy that's in this mask. So spiritual experience can happen in so many different ways and places and spaces that even, you know, energies that have been ancient and still and dormant, it just woke up and was like, look, I need a message. I need a message out. Grab the first being here. All right, grab this short one. And that was that. So there are all kinds, and of course, he wasn't scared. He was very matter-of-fact. Hey, this is what it is. This is what I need you to do. Go make it happen. And so when we allow ourselves to be open, because at three, he doesn't know to hide anything. He didn't know that was one of her prized pieces, worth thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, he didn't know that. He didn't know that. All he knew he was delivering a message. And the message was, my time here with you is complete. So, you know, these are the types of things when I say spiritual experiences can happen at any time, in any place, they happen even without our full knowledge. We don't have to acknowledge it. It doesn't have to acknowledge us. But it's happening right now. You know, I've said before, when I said it the first time, I had to listen to it myself. I had to jot it down because, you know, I do all the programs with pen and paper. And I had to jot down the first time I said this. We're all good with God using us. We're all good with Spirit using us until it gets to be uncomfortable, right? Then it's like, oh, God, this is too much. You know, oh, God, you know, you're taxing my bank account. You know, oh, God, you know, you're really, really asking a lot of me. And I can tell you, he does. He asks a lot of all of us. But when we have these experiences, they help us to know this is God. It helps us, even in the middle of the uncomfortable. You know, so we don't get a lot of notice either when God is going to be using us. That's why we got to stay prayed up all the time. You know, devotions was a wonderful way of us kind of getting a sneak peek into what a life dedicated to God looks like. You know, what does a God-centered life look like? You know, we have to stay, in order to have these spiritual experiences, know that we're having them, gain the insight from having them. In order to have all of those steps come forward, we have to be in a God-centered frame of mind, or we'll miss it. We'll miss it completely. And so that's why I'm encouraging, where is our prayer at? Where is our notice at? Where is, you know, our humility at? Where are those times and places and spaces when you are knocking out the ego and replacing it with positivity and humility? Where is that at? Because when we get to that point, we're doing something at that point. We're cooking with that at that point. But got to get that ego out of there. Because that ego keeps you focused on the world. Focus on the material. You know, something I say all the time, I got from a white man who probably wouldn't speak to me any other time, but I believe in my heart that Spirit was guiding him. And so we're in a gas station together, and I, at that point, I remember the day so clearly. I was having a pissy day. It was not a cool day, not at all, not at all. And I decided I needed some coffee. He was getting coffee. And, you know, he smiles at me and says, hey, how you doing? How's your day coming? I said, yeah, it's been better, but okay. He said, well, as long as you get, he said, I woke up on the green side of the grass, so I think I'm going to be all right. And I'm making my coffee. I'm trying to ignore him. I'm not in the mood. I don't want to talk to you. But then I remember stopping to stir the coffee, and I was like, I said, sir, you said the green side? He was like, yes. I said, what other kind of side is there? He said, the brown side, the part that's 6 feet underside. Oh, well, okay. He said, so did you wake up on the green side? I said, I did. He said, well, it's a good day. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. I have to. And so, you know, I'm telling you, when I say I was in a bad mood, I was in a bad mood. I didn't want to talk to nobody. And I'm thankful that God was moving in this man who I would not have spoken to any other time and was helping me to see, hey, don't forget where you at and what you're doing. You know, don't forget what we got going on. You know, we're trying to create positivity, you know. So this man, when he left the house, I doubt seriously that he knew he was a messenger for me. I doubt that. I doubt that he knew the impact in that 10 years later I would be speaking about that experience and the impact it had on me. You know, I doubt that, you know, he had that head notice. But yet there he was doing the work, and I appreciated it every day. Because every day when I go outside and see that grass, that green's a lot brighter now. Now that I know that there's an alternative, I was like, ooh, that green's so pretty. Ooh-wee, you know. Yeah, the grass needs to get cut, but right now I'm glad to be looking at the green side of it. So, you know, these are just things that we have to put into place, okay? So when you're having these spiritual experiences, just like that old man, we don't get a lot of heads up on it. We don't get somebody saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're just kind of out there. You know what I'm saying? We're just making the best of what we got. All right? So this is why we have to stay prayed up, because we never know how and when God is going to use us to make these things happen. And we always want to be ready because, you know, sometimes we're dealing with some crucial things. You know, there have been many a day where I look back and I'm like, ooh, God, you sure enough moved me away from that avalanche in just enough time. God, you sure did save me from, you know, this. I mean, sometimes some of the things that I get saved from, it looks like split-second decisions, and I would have gotten my little keister tore up, you know, and God just saves me, sends an angel for me, you know, sends a message for me. So, but I'm telling you, I keep my ears on God. You know, I hear God through butterfly wings. I promise you, I'm always listening for that lesson. I'm always listening for the way that God is orchestrating. You know, I don't think, you know, I know my brain can't comprehend. I don't know someone else's might. But all the different moving pieces that God has in place to make things happen in the positive for me is baffling. And I'm just one small person. So I have no idea how in the world God can make things happen with millions of people in the way that just right in exact way that it's supposed to happen. I don't know how. I look sometimes, I'm like, God, you got that. You did that. I don't know how you do it. So, you know, of course, it's not for me to know. My whole job is to make sure that I'm in my place where I need to be. You know, I hear every week, you know, every week someone says, you know, thank you for the platform. Every week. And every week I'm like, thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for helping to sow into someone else's spiritual experience. So, you know, this is a collective. We're all together in this. We're all together working in it. So, and every week I learn something new. So, you know, it's a wonderful blessing for me to be here learning, just as it is for everyone else to be tuning in. And everyone takes turns. You know, if you're not learning while you're teaching, then you're not really teaching. So we have to all take turns being the teacher-student and the student-teacher. You know, we're all taking turns in allowing ourselves to be used, whether comfortable or uncomfortable. I didn't say it was always comfortable. No matter how it's work done, we have to make sure that we're open to the experience of it, okay? And so it's a wonderful thing. I know, and I, you know, if we can, this is a wonderful approach radio. I love doing radio. This has been a nice, chill way to end a pretty hectic day. If you would like to share any more of the stories, press 1. That lets us know that you would like to speak. We're talking about those spiritual experiences, those things that have happened to us or those around us. you know, I remember everyone knows I'm a ritualist, I'm a spiritualist. I do a lot of spiritual work outside in nature. And so I remember one time I was going out to the water. I do a lot of ritual around the water. It's a wonderful experience. You know, water to me is very reactive. You know, I've had experiences in nature with animals, and I'm like, okay, you know, half your brain is like, please don't bite me. And the other half is like, okay, this is wonderful, it's beautiful, but you have teeth and But the water, oh, I love the water. I love the water. And so I remember one time I was placing a gourd in the water. And I had escort with me, like you're supposed to have escort with you when you're doing work. And so I had an escort with me, so placed this nice, big, beautiful gourd, and it was beautiful, and it was packed and heavy, and I put it in the water, right? And so the water takes it and carries it off, and, I mean, it looks beautiful. It's gone and goes out about 3-4 feet. Okay, so that's gone. And so it's beautiful, looking over the sunset, all this wonderful stuff. Then the gourd starts to travel back. And my escort's like, excuse me, but that gourd is coming back. I said, yeah, I can see that. And he's like, what are you going to do about it? I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going in the water. So, you know, it's fine. That's not fine. The gourd's coming back. So the gourd, it went out 3-4 feet, came back right there in front of us and stood there. Now, this is water. You know, this is a lake, a river. No, it wasn't a lake. It was a river. It was flowing. And so for it to not be moving and just standing there, you know, my escort's like, it ain't supposed to be doing that. I was like, it's okay, though. It's okay, though. I know your brain is telling you it's impossible for the waves to be hitting it and it not to be moving. I understand that. You're like, that's not supposed to happen. Why is that happening? I said, okay, you know what? Why don't you go wait in the car? Because if you fall out, I can't pick you up, you know. And he was like, you know what? That's good. I think I'm going to go wait in the car because if that thing, you know, he said, I don't know what to expect from it. I was like, I don't either, but we're not going to freak out about it. So why don't you go wait in the car before we have any more, you know, episodes? And escort had to go. But, you know, we have, and then the gourd sat there, probably still. Waves are still crashing. It should have been moving either 2-4 back and forth, something. There's no way that a gourd can sit still in water as the water's moving. And it did that for about 4 or 5 minutes, which is a long time when you're sitting there like, okay. After that, I just sat there and waited. You know, I wasn't going to go and reach. I didn't know. And so then the gourd goes back out into the water, and it splashes. I mean, it does a whole lot of movement in the water. And you know, it is quite an experience. And then when I got in the car, it's like, well, why did that happen? I said, I don't know. Well, what is this? And I said, I don't know, you know, but it's fine. You know, it's just something that kind of lets you know. It was a way of nature letting you know, there's something more going on here. This is more than just waves carrying it away. You know, there is something beyond logic going on right here. And so that's the way energy communicates, you know. I love it when spirit tries to put things in place that helps us to get out of our head, get out your head, get into the energy, you know, allow the energy to speak, allow the energy to flow. And those are the types of things that I just really adore. And when you're in spiritual settings, they're always happening. So, you know, all you have to do is open your mind to it. So, yeah, that, you know, they're in a wonderful approach. We are full of spiritual experiences at all times in many different ways. All we have to do is be open-minded about it. All we have to do is let people know how to handle us. You know what I'm saying? And real quick before we get ready to close out the show, because I can't believe it's time to close out the show. But when it comes to our children and the children that we are blessed to be around, don't be so quick to shut them down when they say things or do things that are unique that other people and other children may not do. You know, don't be so quick to, that didn't happen. You know, don't be so quick to tell them or even interpret for them what that is. You know, there's been many a day where I've had to listen to a child because I could recognize that spirit or an ancestor was speaking through this child. Now, if I'm looking with my eyes at this child speaking, I'm going to lose the message. I'm going to lose the message completely. So I'm going to sit here and tell you, can't tell me that. You don't know about this, you know. So when it comes to spirituality, you learn not to be so heavily reliant on your eyes. You start to come out of your head just a little bit more, come more into your heart. You know, what are you feeling? You know what I'm saying? You know, for a lot of times, you know, we'll do MISA, we'll have guided meditation, we'll have something. And I'm like, well, what do you smell? You know, and they're like, how did you know I was smelling something? You know, when we're having spiritual experiences, they can happen through something we see. They can happen through something that we feel or touch. You know, sometimes the temperature gets very hot. Sometimes the temperature gets very cold. You know, there are lots of different ways that we experience. And actually, smell is one of the senses. And it's something that they use so to help identify who they are and what's going on at that moment. Okay? So, you know, we have all these opportunities to have spiritual experiences. Even something like a smell, you know, even something, you know, and it can be flowers, it can be food. It can be a perfume that you know your auntie used to wear. Honestly, it can be a season. You know, for me, Christmas means Mommy Neal. When I see those poinsettias, those red flowers, that's all I think about. I go to her and I think about her so long, so hard. I can't even, you know, it's almost like it traps me in a memory, you know, where I can't even think about, you know, what's going on now. It's so busy taking me back to show me something of when I was a child or to show me something of some words that were said that have new relevance now in 2020. And so those are like my favorite times and favorite types of spiritual experiences when they kind of show you the movie of what was before so that you can gain more insight and take that insight and apply it to your life now. I love it when spirit comes, like the young sister called and said, you know, was thanking her. You know, those types of things help to build your confidence. They help to build your ability to say, hey, I'm feeling this. I'm thinking this. I'm around this. So 100%, I want everyone to sit back and think about your spiritual experience. I know I've done some writing on mine. And the more I wrote about this one particular house and this one particular ancestor, the more I understood about myself. Every time I'm out studying this, praying on that, making this happen, making that happen, I am learning more and more about myself. And that is true. That's true spiritual work, in my opinion, okay? The more you know about yourself, the closer you'll get to God. The closer you get to God, the more you know about yourself. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build this cycle, this circle, so that we can continue our growth and development. We need to grow. You know, we are young beings in our spirituality. And the majority of us, you know, we're not going to live to be 300-400 years old like they were back in the day, back in biblical days. So we have to really try our best to get and to have these experiences and to have that relationship with God complete and firm as young as possible. So, again, when it comes to these children, don't underestimate who they are. Don't underestimate what they're doing and how they're doing it. You know, don't undermine their spiritual development, because they have something to share and they have something to do. Thank everyone that shared their experiences. They get quite comical because everyone knows I have a nice sense of humor. And so we will have more and more experiences, and we'll all look back and say, oh, remember when, and remember when, and we'll get more insight. Oh, I saw this. Oh, I felt that. You know, oh, remember, you know, the bird over, was flying overhead as we were doing this work and doing that work. And so we have all of these experiences and ways to recognize when we're working. And so, you know, it's a great, great, great way to do it. If you haven't been touched, if you don't know nothing I'm talking about, if everything I'm talking about sounds absolutely foreign, you need to make it to an event. There is, like I said, a wonderfulapproach.com. There is a full calendar of events. We stay busy, stay on the highway. Take the time to learn about what is going on around you so that you can feel good and comfortable about, you know, any and everything that's going on. Okay? So I'm glad for those that came in, all my newbies hanging out, taking the time to, you know, get this understanding of spiritual experience in. Remember, I'm doing a big push for the water July 11th. We are going to be in Beaufort, South Carolina. It is going to be beautiful. Our second year doing it. Last year was amazing. I could not have orchestrated it better than that. You know, spirit was flowing. And so this year, spirit has shown me some very beautiful, very impactful things happening. And I just want to invite as many people that are interested in having these experiences to come out to the water and experience them. That's July 11th. And information for that is already out to A Wonderful Approach. And we'll be hitting online very soon, probably this weekend. So thank you so much for taking the time. If this is your first show, I'm going to tell you, we end all of our shows with a small prayer. And the reason why is because prayer changes things. When you invite God into your life, it is elevated. So what we want to do is, you know, the words that were shared here, the smiles, the giggles, you know, the tears, all that was shared here, we want to give to God and to have it elevated so that others can come behind us and gather what they need from this experience as well. So we always want to be able to add God in with prayer. So we do this at the end of each show. Also, there is a prayer book. You know, we're into praying. This is how we talk to God. You know, there's devotions that we just completed, and devotions was 3-4 times bigger than I could have dreamed of. So all of this starts with prayer. And so every show we're going to do prayer. Usually I offer the co-host, but our co-host is starting a long journey of healing today. So I'm going to be the one.
to offer prayer. And I love offering prayer. So, Father, Mother, God, we give thanks and praise for allowing us to come forward this day, allowing the lessons that were necessary, no matter how painful, to come forward so that we can learn to be better servants and stewards of your love, time, attention, devotion. We come before you humbly so that we can prepare ourselves for the journey that you have ahead of us. We are blessed to carry the work that you have set out. We are blessed to carry out the lessons that you have for us. We are blessed in understanding that you trust us. You trust us enough to speak your name. You trust us enough to move forward and to be that lighthouse for others going forward. You trust us enough to sit back and to be an example for others on how your love, your grace, your kindness, your favor comes forward in our benefit every time. We give thanks for your protection that you drape around us, even in the most heavy and hectic of times. Your protection can still be found. We ask that not just our bodies be protected, but our minds be protected. Ask that our spirit be protected. Ask that our families, our children, our spouse, we ask that our ancestors be protected. We ask that all of that positive energy that you have come forward, and may we be reflections of your light. May we be reflections of the blueprint that you have left for us. God, I understand that there are hard days, and those are the days that we need to hold on the tightest. But on those days where our faith wavers, please charge it to our head, not our heart, and hold us tight, understanding that, you know, we are young and sometimes childish in our understandings of God. You know, allow us, you know, to make these mistakes so that we can go forward in learning the correct way to do it. God, I ask that our leaders be kept strong for the burden that they bear as many. I ask that our children remain safe in the helm so that they won't stray too far, and when they do come back, they won't have that far to go. I ask that all those that are listening to the sound of my voice now, may they be refreshed in their home and in their spirit. I'm asking those that will listen later, may they be refreshed in their homes and in their spirit. I ask that we begin to know you in a personal way, in a way that will help build us, in a way that will show and shine. We ask that your love and light be reflected upon our skin, allow it to glow forward, and set positive examples for those that have lost their way. God, give us the strength to go and find that lost sheep, because we know that you love even the lost sheep. So we ask these things in your name. As we gently go into this night, we pray for this country. We pray for the needless killings to stop. We ask that you, and only you, find a way to heal those hearts of the broken right now so that we can move forward in positivity. Amen.